Welcome, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the August 26, 2025 Marine Resources Commission meeting. Before we start, we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance led by Associate Member Branson, followed by invocation. Associate Member Person.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this day. Allow us the opportunity to meet here at the Commission. Let us debate these important marine resource issues as best to our ability. For this we pray.
Amen. Welcome again, everyone. Good to see everybody. So, I'm going to move right along. The approval of the agenda, are there any corrections, deletions, or changes from the commission members or staff to the current agenda? Being said, to approve. A motion to approve from Associate Member Branson.
Second.
Got a second from my Associate Member Headley. Any further discussions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Let the record reflect that Associate Member Hand is not here today. He's not going to be present today. Moving right along. The minutes, are there any corrections, deletions, or changes from the commission members or staff for the July 22nd, 2025 commission meeting minutes? I don't see anybody jumping up. And a motion to approve from Mr. Erskine and a second from Mr. Branson. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries 7-0. All right, we're going to swear in VMRC staff and VIM staff that will be speaking or presenting testimony during the meeting. Swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, help you God. Thank you. All right, Randy, looks like you got the floor.
Mr. Members of the Commission, good morning. I have four page two items. In two cases, you're acting as a wetlands board. In two cases, it's the subaqueous projects that are over $1 million in cost. Item 2A, the Eastern Federal Lands Highway Division is requesting authorization to install 65 linear feet of riprap revetment as part of the repair of the Mount Vernon Trail Bridge. Number 26 in the city of Alexandria, you're acting as the BMC Wetlands Board. I did look at those photographs again this morning. It's a very steep bank, and the road is very close to the creek. Item 2B, Virginia Electric Power Company was requesting authorization to replace an electrical line under 6,132 linear feet of the Nansman River via horizontal directional drilling and embedment plow near the intersection of Bennett's Creek Landing and Bridge Road in the city of Suffolk. The line will be installed 6 feet beneath the river bottom. We will recommend approval with an encroachment royalty of $18,396 for the crossing under 6,132 linear feet of state-owned submerged land at a rate of $3 per linear foot. The project requires a BMC subaqueous permit. Item 2C, Jonathan Wilson, you're acting as the wetlands board for King William County, is requesting authorization to construct an 83-foot-long revetment channeled of a failing bulkhead along the Pamunkey River shoreline at 340 West Euclid Boulevard in King William County. And item 2D, Norfolk Southern Railroad Company is requesting authorization to mechanically dredge a maximum 170,000 cubic yards of state-owned submerged land to achieve a new maximum depth of minus 57 feet at mean low water and to maintenance dredge up to 50,000 cubic yards of material per cycle on an as-needed basis at their Pier 6 berth at their facility on Norfolk Southern Drive along the Elizabeth River main stem in Norfolk. The dredge material will be transferred by barge either to the Craney Island management area or their rehandling basin, possibly, and if that's not, you know, open at the time, to Shirley Plantation or possibly to the recycled properties, LOC property in Chesapeake via sealed dump trucks. And sometimes grain is available, sometimes it's not, so they have to have these options to go to different places, you know, and we ask that up front in the permit process. We're recommending approval with outstanding dredge conditions, including a royalty of $102,000 for the dredging of 170,000 cubic yards of submerged land at a rate of 60 cents per cubic yard. a time of year of July 1 to September 30th, protect nearby shellfish resources. And that's all I have, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions from the commission? Chief Hill. On the northern and southern thing, that material, does it have coal dust in it? Do you know?
Well, can't imagine it wouldn't. I know there are testing requirements for disposal. You don't go to Craney Island without it being tested, and the other facilities surely the balance. There are requirements that for testing material to determine what it can be disposed of. Hopefully.
Any other questions? Thank you, Andy. Appreciate you. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on any of these projects at this time? Anyone for or against? All right. That being said, matters before the commission.
Move to approve page 2 items.
Got a motion to approve page 2 items from Associate Member Branson, a second Associate Member Erskine. Any further discussion? A properly made motion, Associate Member Branson, properly second by Associate Member Erskine. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries 7-0. All right, moving right along. Consent agenda items. Do we have any, Randy?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Item 3A, Larry Shores. We brought this to you last month, and we went back and re-coordinated with adjacent property owners. We now have their signed releases for the project as advertised, and before you today, Mr. Shores is requesting after the fact authorization to retain 7 4-foot by 8-foot crab shedding trays attached to their private pier and to utilize the pier for both private and commercial purposes adjacent to their property on Urbana Creek in Middlesex County. Mr. Shores' brother is here if you need to speak to him, but we are recommending approval, sir. We went out there months ago based on riprap application and discovered the crab shedding trays. He does hold the license for crab shedding, so we felt that either the trays had to go or the pier had to be brought into commercial status. So they've asked to retain it and as a flip the use from private to commercial use, even though they're not really using the trays commercially.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Chief Owen on that? Mr. Thurston?
And that's a typo in the agenda because there are what's before me does not have it on the screen, but there are encroachment royalties. I don't know why they're not on this agenda. I looked at it on the portal this morning, sir, and they're in there. I don't know why they're not on the printed agenda, but there is an encroachment royalty, and I do need – I'm gasping for breath here, asking for my steps to run up here with those numbers. Sir, could we – give my staff a minute to come up with those numbers and then maybe bring this back up in a minute.
I know that
Mr. Shores is aware of them, and I don't know why they didn't make the printed agenda.
No worries.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is the applicant or representative for the applicant here wish to speak at this time? Is the applicant or representative for...
I'm his agent. No, sir. Right. Unless you have a question.
Okay. Is there anyone in opposition? Anyone in opposition to this? Kelsey, could we move along and just say that, do we have to have the exact royalties and permit fees, or can we just say pay any and all royalties and permit fees and all that stuff? Can we make a motion for that?
We could, yeah, you could just move to accept
the
staff presented recommendation.
The reason I was just wondering if the applicant had agreed to pay whatever those encroachment fees may be. I don't know what.
He's nodded his head, and he is in agreement. Joe is feverishly running down the hallway to get to Kirsten to get the information.
Yeah, I mean, how much really is not relevant?
It was several thousand dollars for encroachment royalties and then the permit fee. He is in agreement. We just think we've the trays have been here for a number of years, and they had the option of removing them, and we discussed months ago, you know, what that fee would be for the, you know, so I know that, I'm, I don't know what happened, why it's not on the agenda, sir. I didn't catch that this morning.
No worries.
Those were brief last month.
Yes, sir.
The only question that, I had last month was the adjacent property owner notification that it reflected residential use only, and that was clarified shortly after the meeting. So that was the only hang-up from last month.
Yes, sir. And we went ahead and got
that resolved now.
Yes, sir.
Now that Mr. Griss is back.
Okay, maybe we have a numbers here, sir.
You want this now?
Please.
Thank you.
The encroachment royalty is $4,952 for the encroachment over 2,476 square feet, which he has agreed to.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any more questions? All right. That being said, I've already opened it up to the public. There was no opposition here to speak to it. Madam Board Commissioner.
I move to approve the application with the briefed royalties.
Got a motion to approve from Associate Member Branscombe.
Second.
The staff recommendations with the $4,952 royalty fee, equipment royalty fees, along with permit fees. And I have a second by Mr. Headley. Associate Member Headley, is there any further discussion? That being said, and properly made motion by Mr. Branscombe, it's properly seconded by Mr. Headley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries 7-0. Thank you. Kelsey, is closed council session needed?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. All right, Randy, you back up. Moving right along.
Okay. Robert Resch is requesting authorization to construct an open-sided canvas boathouse roof structure adjacent to their property and pier on at 945 Bobolink Drive along a cove, tributary to Lincoln Bay in Virginia Beach. This project is protested by the adjacent property owner. If you're familiar with Lincoln Bay, this project is on one of the unnamed coves just off of Lincoln Bay in the Bird Neck Point subdivision of Virginia Beach. This is an aerial photograph of Mr. Resch's home, his existing pier, and uncovered boat lift. He did apply for the pier and received the statutory authorization in 2013. He applied for the uncovered lift in 2024. So the structures in the aerial are all authorized by statute. This is just a close-up, again, of the home and the pier and the uncovered lift. We did receive a complaint in April 21st, from the adjacent property owners objecting to the unauthorized metal frame that you see in this staff photograph. They had begun installing the metal frame for a canvas cover. Without the consent of the adjacent property owners, any type of covered lift requires a permit from this agency. That's the view looking out along the pier. This is the cove that dumps out into Lincoln Bay. Turning around, looking in the opposite direction, there's Mr. Resch's home, his pier, and the metal framing. They never did install it. We got to them before they installed the canvas, so the canvas was never installed. And this is the home of the protestant here to the left. You'll note Colin Marine installed the lift. The contractor, who I believe is here today, that installed the framing for the canvas cover is Brody Fierenhein. I apologize if I murdered your name, with Fierenhein Building Group. They did work with us. They provided drone imagery of the metal framing with the new boat in the lift. And like I said, they never installed the cover because we got to them before they did, but imagine a tarp, you know, being stretched or covered, stretched over the frame. It's a golden sunshade product. We issued a notice to comply on May the 8th, directing either the removal of the framing or alternatively the submittal of an application, which they did within 7 days of the notice to comply. They submitted the application. We explained to them the process that they were to come before you with the frame installed. You know, they'd be in violation and they would be subject to possible assessment of civil charges. They did not want to do that, so they went ahead and removed the frame as well. We verified on July the 7th that the frame has been removed. You can see the boat sitting in the lift. It's a 36-foot Aviara, Coast Guard registered. Our total length is just under 39 feet, and the beam is just under 11 feet. We've received, I think on three occasions, comments from the adjacent property owner's counsel, Mr. Ryan Peoples, with Penning and Coward. His clients argue that the framing was installed illegally, that once installed, it blocked their view, would adversely impact their adjacent property, the living shore they've constructed on their shoreline, will decrease their property value and affect their quality of life. As with any protested roof that we bring to you almost on a monthly basis, we do our best to identify the roofs that are authorized and in the project area. All the yellow dots you see in the Bird Neck Point subdivision represent roof structures across the waterway in an adjacent subdivision. You'll see a number of roof structures there. So as we all know, the covered lifts are pretty commonly constructed and authorized throughout the Commonwealth. So I'm down to my summary slide where I have, again, the aerial showing you the existing pier and lift, the drone imagery of what the frame looked like when it was installed, and a ground shot as well. The applicants, they've worked with us. They apologized for the unauthorized construction. I think they, when they got their approval in 2024 for the uncovered lift, they assumed it included the right to do this. They removed the structure within 60 days, complying, we believe, substantially with the notice to comply. I've shown you the multiple private piers and roof structures that are constructed throughout the Bird Neck Point subdivision nearby area. We believe that the open-sided design of the roof will minimally add to the visual obstruction already presented by the existing pier and lift. We also believe that this proposed metal frame canvas cover appears to be an appropriate use of the riparian property owner's rights to access their own submerged land, protect their boat. Accordingly, we recommend approval of the project as proposed, sir.
Thank you, Randy. Any questions?
All right, Commissioner Branch.
Thank you, Commissioner. Chief, it seems like once they were made aware of the violation of the covered roof structure construction and then noticed to comply, they acted responsibly in complying.
That is my understanding. In fact, I think the contractor's here, and we didn't even ask him to come, and I think he's coming, you know, just to show good faith that he's got the message now. So,
yeah, that's not usual, I think.
It is unusual.
Yeah. And then the other question I had was, in the protestant's letter, they mentioned about the impact of living shoreline. Mm-hmm. Was that living shoreline on the adjacent property owner's property?
Yes.
And what's the impact of that?
If you look at the orientation, you know, all these...
It looks close.
That's a north orientation. So, you know, when the sun sets to the west, it could be a shadow cast over the living shoreline during a portion of the day. But, you know, we do believe the applicant's right to, under the statute, to protect their vessel, you know, and apply for the roof is an acceptable use.
Thank you.
Mr. Preston.
I just had one question. Is there a picture from the adjacent property owner's property looking out? I saw the picture taken from this particular pier looking back.
We don't have one of this presentation, sir. I apologize.
I have a couple of questions. The drawing from Golden Engineering,
mm-hmm.
The specifications call for a 24 by 50 foot sunshade canopy, which leads me to believe that thing is 50 feet long by 24 feet wide. Then when I went through the drawings on the Barney drawing, there was one Barney drawing that showed it 45 feet long by 14 feet wide, and another Barney drawing dated the same date that showed it
19 feet wide. So I'm getting three different widths on the dimension.
Yes, sir.
Now, the one drawing on the permit that I saw was, if you scroll back, I think it was 11 feet or 14 feet. And looking at the boat, I forgot the boat, but the boat width, I wasn't even sure that 14 feet would give it adequate protection. So my question is, what are they trying to build? A 24-foot wide, a 14-foot wide, or a 19-foot wide? Because I see three dimensions on this application.
Yes, sir. I believe the reason Tiffany prepared the slide that's on the screen is I think she went through the same questions, and it's my understanding, based on the slide in front of you, that the canvas is 19 foot wide, it's 45 foot long based on the drawing on the screen. Mr. Barney is here, and he can certainly clarify if staff has it incorrect. Well, I know the boat is 39 foot, just under 39 with the stern platform and in the bow, and the boat's beam is 10 foot 10 inches, so the 19 foot cover would cover that.
10 foot 10. According to the specification, the one that they're buying is 50 by 24 feet wide.
Okay.
So if we approve something that's 14 feet wide, and then they go put up something that's 24 feet wide, we can be right back in here in a month.
Yes, sir. I'm.
I can't get in that boat with.
The
poles need to move.
I've got the slide on the screen that is my understanding that Tiffany's worked with them on. That is the requested dimension, but. You're absolutely right. They need to leave here with a decision, whether you approve it or deny it.
Back to the picture of the lift.
Yes, sir.
Please.
Maybe the end, Mr. Barney can clear it up.
Yeah, I mean, look at the poles there. I mean, you can't get 14 more feet there. You'll be on the shore. So,
I mean, that one right there, according to the drawing, is the 14-foot version width.
That's the actual aerial footage before the Tiffany.
Hold that drawing right there. If you go to a 24-foot wide, that's going to add 5 feet to each side, which if the opposition's property line is that little thing right to the right, that's going to be real close to his property line.
Well, it can't exceed the metal framing. It's strapped to the framing. It would be flapping like a tent. So that's why I believe, and Mr. Barney is here to clarify it, there are your dimensions right there.
Let's see if he wants to speak. I understand what Mr. White's saying, but there's something's wrong because there's no way you get a 24-foot wide boat in there to start with. It's a moot point.
Yeah, I would yield to Mr. Barney and the sunshade. You know, this is the first time we've seen one of these, so
yeah.
It's new to the staff.
No worries. Thank you, Randy. Any more questions? Is the applicant or an agent here and wish to speak at this time, please go forward. Are you an attorney?
No, sir.
You swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, have you got?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Yes, Jason Barney with Barney Environmental. We're an environmental consulting firm in Virginia Beach, and I'm here serving as the agent for Mr. Resch. Thank you, the commission, for having us here to advocate for the project. As indicated, Randy did a great job, and Tiffany Burge as well, and I've worked with them for numerous years. I serve on the Virginia Beach Wetlands Board, and I've been on there for about 10 years now, so I want to thank you all for doing such a great job on all the projects and this one. So we agree with his characterization and don't think the shading is a big issue. I think some of the dimensional, my involvement started last year when Mr. Resch, who's here, engaged me to install a new boat lift, uncovered. He's purchasing a new boat. He had a smaller boat lift that was present on the property that was in the same position as the new lift. That lift was torn down and this new lift was built. So we permitted that last year. It was successfully constructed. Then the issue with the roof came up this year, and so I was not involved with that until after the stop work order came through. And apparently there was some misunderstanding from the contractor, who's also here. Thank you for coming. That they were told that they could, since it was a temporary tarp structure, it's attached by bungee cords, they were told that that they could put that on. And I think the manufacturer told the contractor that. So they were under the impression that they were allowed to do this. And as Mr. Owen indicated, once they got the stop work order from both the city and VMRC, they stopped the work, and then they've gone and uninstalled the unauthorized portion of the roof structure before we came before you to get your approval. But I think some of the widths, there's enough room, obviously, for the boat because it fits on there. But when we permitted the lift itself, that is a smaller footprint than the roof. The roof has some overhang on it. So I think that is the discrepancy there on some of the dimensions. But I know that the existing lift was built per the drawings we prepared last year. And then this new application was not prepared by me. Someone else prepared this after the fact application. I'm here to serve as the agent. But I think that those dimensions are also correct. I was out there. Also, the City of Virginia Beach recently approved this application. We got the approval letter last week, I believe. So the city's approved it. They've checked it out and agree with your staff's recommendation. The width there between the lift, the roof, and the riprap and marsh tow kind of living shoreline, it's about 15 feet. And it's somewhat of a westward orientation, and it doesn't appear like it's going to be significant shading. I was out there a couple times, and it's not. It was the afternoon, and it was not casting a shadow. So, I think this is more probably about the view, and these kind of things come up. I'm sure you've heard protests before on covered boat lifts, and I've been involved in them. Of course, this is a tighter cove, but everybody has their own riparian area, and so. You know, this is kind of where you see conflicts like this, but I believe the neighbor's property has a large boat lift as well. So, but I'd be happy to answer any additional questions. I know Mr. White had some questions, but I think everything on the plans is correct, and I know it's been reviewed by the staff.
Which plan are you asking us to approve? The 14-foot width, the 19-foot width, or the 24-foot width?
The plan
is 19.
It's 19. Okay.
There is not a plan in here with 24 feet. I see the brochure. The maximum width that can be built by the manufacturer is 24 feet wide. I don't see that in the plans. That's what my point was earlier.
I think
that's from
correct.
The brochure. That's from the brochure of the manufacturer. That's not in the plans.
Right.
Mr. Brink.
Yes, yeah, so I think, Commissioner, the drawing from Golden
Engineering,
I think that's a scalable awning. They can make it up to 24 by 50,
yes,
or they can make it 19.
So the max dimensions,
yeah,
like
or
the
it
box.
Could be 19.
Okay.
What you're asking for is the beam of the post is 14, but the shade is 19.
Yeah, I believe the roof has a bit
the length
of,
is never varied,
over.
Is
no, no, the length hasn't changed. So I believe it's about 800 square feet.
This drawing explains it in your book right here.
So the request is for a 19 by 45 foot.
Yes.
Awning.
Yes, sir. Thank you for clarifying that. And please understand, we didn't actually prepare that drawing. He had someone else prepare that.
Looking at the drawing, I
so that
this
that's
is
the one we're reviewing though.
That
today.
The manufacturer can make it up to 24 feet.
That
wide.
That makes
in
sense.
This case,
yeah.
You're asking for 19.
Only going 19, and I don't think it's going to cause significant shading. And as far as roofs go, this is a less of a visual block than a traditional hard roof made of wood. Those are going to block the view a lot more. So this is actually a lower impact, I would argue.
Can I ask you the difference? Both of your drawings were dated May 31st of 24, and one of your drawings shows 14 foot width, and the other one showed 19. What is it?
Well, that is that drawing, and I'm not sure what you're referring to there, but that was already approved. So we're not that's. That was what I prepared last year. I believe it's 19 is what I don't have the plans in front of me, but the new set is now, you know, they've built the lift already to scale. So the lift's already there, and this is all just about the second submittal from 2025 that shows the roof going on top of the new lift that's already there. So you've seen the picture of it, and that's what it looks like.
Yes, sir. I think what the confusion is they had a permit to build a boat lift without a cover.
Yeah.
With the poles being 14 feet wide. They already had that permit in hand. Right. They had to take this off.
Right.
To come back and be in compliance to get a permit. And this structure is actually 19 feet.
It's 19 because it's got a little
bit of... The original permit says 14 because they weren't allowed to put a structure on to start with. It was just the poles. And the poles are 14.
Yeah, the boat lift itself is smaller than the roof. So that's... So we only handle that, and I'm not sure where the two different drawings are. Maybe one of those is a draft. I'm not sure. But I believe,
And the drawings are in the package.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think we can confirm, and it's 14. The lift itself is 14, and the roof is 19.
Okay.
So if you think about the poles, the lift, and then the overhang, that's where you get your extra width, and that's why we exceed the 700 square feet statutory authority by what, maybe about 100 feet. But we certainly appreciate the neighbors' concerns, and we apologize for the unauthorized construction, and they acted promptly, and you know, if you have any questions for the applicant or the contractor about that, but they complied with everything. They've taken it down, and I know Mr. Resch did have some damage to his boat's top, and this was one of the reasons he was thinking that he needed a covered lift, and it was recommended to him by his marine contractor who works on his boat.
Any more questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to speak on this matter? Please come forward. State your name for the record.
Ryan Finelli.
Raise your right hand. You swear to tell the whole truth, the only truth have you got?
I do.
Proceed.
I'm the neighboring property owner of the APO. I'm here to speak against this application. I think Mr. Owens summarized it up pretty well. It's a really large boathouse in a very small cove right behind my house. This is the short story. I just had a few questions. How tall is this boathouse going to be?
I can't answer that. I would. Randy, is there a drawing to pull up for that?
Good, sir.
The I believe the contractor's here. Is that correct?
Yes.
So it right there. It's not on the cross section, sir. It's 14 foot.
Three foot, it's not. To the edge.
I don't see a height in there.
3 foot from the top of the pole
to the roof.
To the roof.
Is there a roof?
Yeah, I know.
Is that what's going on? We'll have to bring the contractor up in a second. Any more questions?
Yes. So assuming we come up with a number of how tall it's going to be, do you care if it's built 2 feet taller than that? Would that be in compliance with the JPA?
It would have to be within the permit requirements of the height. And
can we go back to the last slide you just had up of the 14 with the green that Ms. Burge created?
Yes, sir.
That exhibit shows the boathouse stopping at the end of the existing pier. So if the boathouse were constructed and then let's say it's 4 or 5 feet further into the channel than what's described here, would that be in compliance with the JPA?
Mr. Owen?
I want to set the record straight here. What's before you are the project drawings that we have asked you to consider. It's a 19-foot wide by 45-foot canvas on the framing in the position in the drawing. That's what's before you.
So 45 feet would be approved.
45 feet in that location shown right there? Okay. And then I think you're supposed to put up little yard signs advertising in public hearings. Do you, Mr. Owen, drive around and check to make sure those are put up?
No, we don't put up yard signs.
Okay.
That's we don't put up yard signs. We're supposed to put up yard signs. All right, next.
Thank you very much.
Hey, hold on a second. Any questions for the speaker?
I do. Mr. Finelli, thank you for coming here today. You've seen it already constructed without the awning material attached.
Yes.
And your question was about the height of it and could it be higher. What's your reasoning for that?
Well, I don't know how tall it was or how tall it will be, but at some point it shocks the conscience of how tall out of the water it is. If it's five stories tall, do you care?
Well, it's not in the drawings. I just looked through it.
Yeah, it's not.
Usually it's, you know, the height of the boat in the lift, that kind of, you know. But I don't think it's a stipulation in the application how high it would be. But I was wondering what the basis of your question was. Did you want it higher? Did you want it lower? No, you don't want it, but I get it. But,
the lower the better. I stare up my kitchen window at it, so it's anything there is a problem. This was built without any permits, and so I'm scared of what's going to be built forward.
The lift and the pier have been approved. The awning is the only question before the commission today, if I'm correct.
Right, yes, and it's not built without any permits. The whole structure, minus the rooftop, is approved.
Correct.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on this? Anyone else? Randy, I have one quick question. The original permit would have had the height of the pylons.
No, sir. There's no permit. This pier and uncovered lift alters by statute. There is okay. Built as a by right under the General Assembly's right to wharf out. The only thing that needs a permit is that metal frame and canvas, which is before you. If it would help, we'll go back to the pictures. Exactly what it looks like, right there and there. That is the height, whatever that is. And I do believe it will go back bolt by bolt exactly as you see it if you authorize it. I think the simple fix here is to have a revised drawing that clarifies the height.
Yeah. It says right here, though, 3 feet above the dock pylon. That's why I was asking if there was a standard of, because the drawing does say approximately 3 feet above the dock pylon.
And I, again, this is the first time I've seen this product, and we may see more of them. And we'll make darn sure we have the height in the next cross section, I can guarantee you.
Thank you, Randy. All right, matters before the commission. You know, this could very simply need more detail. It's up to you.
Commissioner, is the contractor able to speak to any of it to clarify some of the questions?
Well, I asked him if he wanted to speak, and then nobody stood up. So we'll kill this quick.
Step right
up. So raise your right hand. You swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name for the record.
Brady Feuerhahn, Feuerhahn Building Group.
Sir, what's the height?
So I don't have an exact height at the apex of the radius just because it's a very, very slight bend, but as stated in the illustration, from the top of the beam of the lift, which should be established with the previous permit for the lift, the legs are 3 foot, and it's such a slight radius, I didn't pull an exact to the top, but I can provide that if necessary.
Understood.
Mr. Branson.
And, sir, has the boat been in the lift with that awning on it?
Yes, sir. We set the upper limiter of the boat lift to about a foot and a half under the top of that awning, and it falls right about where the boat needs to be to maintain its integrity on the lift during, like, a surge tide.
That kind of defines how high you ought to build a roof,
yeah.
So don't hit the boat.
That's right. Any more questions? Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
All right. Anyone else in the audience wish to speak before I carry this back to the commission? Because I'm about to open it back up again. All right, matter before the commission.
I have a comment, sir. Just to
proceed.
Thank you. Oh, I appreciate your efforts because when I looked at this previously, just doing my homework, a lot of times there's cases where we're looking at something that then needs to be tore down. So I appreciate you guys taking it all down, because that's one of my big pet peeves myself, and presenting it before admission as it was previously. Thank you for your time. And just to point out,
It's a very tight cove. Everybody's very aware of it, understood. I mean, the boat that's covered in that picture can also block some views as well. I look at this as a very long boat lift that's within essentially reason. And it's no different than any other lift I would come across in my own travels. It's just longer, but it's on the riparian's rights property as well. So I can see both ways, but I can't argue one way or the other. So thank you, sir.
I think I agree. I think the when it comes to covered boat lifts, this is the first of these that we've seen. If you compare this to many of the boat lifts, covered boat lifts that we've proved in the past, they have much larger, taller roofs that block the obstruction. And I think the adjacent property owner, Mr. Finelli, would really have an issue if it was a conventionally built, but this seems to be very as low profile as you can get. Slim. And I don't think the height is excessive. If they put the boat in there, ran it up to a reasonable height to avoid storm surge, and it's about a foot higher, that's about as low as it could be. I don't see any problem with this.
Any other comment?
I move to approve staff recommendation.
Got a motion to approve staff recommendation from Associate Member Branson.
Second.
I got a second from Associate Member Headley. Any further discussion?
I'm going to have to abstain because I've done some business with Mr. Barney in the past.
Good call. Your integrity is awesome.
I know, I like it. Any further discussion? All right. That being said, I'm carrying to a vote. I got a properly made motion from Associate Member Branson to accept staff recommendation. Properly seconded by Associate Member Headley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. And one abstention is Mr. White. So motion carries 6-0-1 with Mr. White abstaining. Thank you for coming to me earlier than that, Mr. White. All right. On to the next one. Public comment. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on an item that is not on the agenda? Please come forward this time. Please raise your right hand. You swear to tell the whole truth, number two, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record and the microphone.
I'm Michael Shackelford, commercial waterman, living in Gloucester.
Proceed.
Well, I got a number of things I'm coming in front of y'all for that I don't feel that's been right. I come in front of this committee some years back with my crab pot license. They were put on hold, and I stood in front of this committee. I said I wouldn't come back no more for the way I was treated. I've never done nothing. I've been, this 46 years I've been working on the water. I quit school when I was 13 years old. I've been working ever since.
Please stop talking to the microphone, please.
I've been working on water since I was 13 years old, really. I come out of school, couldn't keep me in school, but I come out when I was 14 and went to work. And I've done nothing else, but anyway, I had a crab pot license. We'll start with this one. Anyway, put it on hold. I didn't use it, no, but I don't know what I'm going to do. If I didn't use it, I wasn't hurting no one. I wasn't hurting the industry in no kind of way. But now things have changed. I haul seine in the summertime, which I used to haul 6 months out of the year. Now I haul 2 months out of the year. I take that upon myself with the fish and the quality of fish. I don't go to catch something that don't do me no good or does nobody. I don't do that. And which I could use my crab pot license, it would come in handy. But I stood in front of this committee years ago. I can't tell you, I'm not good on that. And I was really told, you should have lied. I should have lied. Like other people kept their license and they lied. And that's wrong to ask me to lie. I don't know how y'all feel about a lot, but I might be a lot of things, but I'm not a lot. So, and then we'll go from this one. I'm here today because a lot of stuff is built up, and I'll come in front of y'all to tell y'all this. So, a few years back, I got a shrimping permit. Okay, got that. Well, anyway, I paid the money, spent $6,000, got all the stuff made for the following year. I didn't get, because my motor was gone in my boat. I could sit here. Y'all have a long time to sit if I tell you the stories.
Be brief.
I'll be real brief with you. But it's just stuff that's built up and built up. Anyway, the shrimping now. So I got that, working on the boat. I spent $100,000 where I got ripped off on a motor, secretary, that the guy that was building my motor embezzled everything he had, so I lost that motor. So that was $50,000 gone. So here I go again, buy another motor, work on a boat, getting all everything together. So now the shrimping thing, you took that from me, okay? 10 years I spent down here, had a dogfish permit, qualified like everybody did. All my qualifications like everybody did. You know, when I got that dogfish permit back, I paid $1,500 a month on a boat that I couldn't use. And I got that dogfish permit back last year. Just so happened that I was supposed to have that the same time everybody else has worked. And I'm not standing in the front, y'all. I want you to feel sorry for me. I go to work. I work hard. But I deserve what I'm supposed to have coming to me. And the only thing we have now, everybody praises the arson. I praise the arson too. I do. I pray to God nothing don't happen to it. What have y'all ever stopped and thought, what are we going to do if something happens to the arson? I've seen it. I've seen it go. Everybody's on it, and we pray to God for everybody, for me, myself, the boss, everybody. Nothing don't happen to it. But I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. And driving everybody to one thing is wrong. And I'm just here in front of y'all. I could keep you here all day long.
I think your time is up. So I'm going to kind of do this in brevity. So you're coming before the commission. You got your dogfish permit a year or so ago. You're coming before the commission during public comment to state the fact that your crab pot license was froze.
Yes, sir.
And you've been a full-time commercial waterman your entire life.
Yes, sir.
And you want your crab pot license back, and you have a shrimp. You had a shrimp permit.
Yes, sir.
That you built a shrimp rig. You have the shrimp rig. You've built.
Yes, sir.
And now you don't have a shrimp permit. I guess you were one of the ones that were.
Now I'm one that don't have. Okay.
And you built the shrimp rig.
Yes, sir. I built everything. Fixing a boat. Fixing a boat. Well, you took everything. It's hard to work with your hands to pay for everything. I'm not going to borrow nothing. That's not a smart thing to do. Not nowadays to do anything. And I'm getting all my stuff back. I take care of my mother, 81 years old, me and her. And I just feel like that's why I'm coming in front of y'all. I'm not just telling y'all how I feel about things.
Thank you, Mr. Schaefer. Well, you can still address any questions from the commission.
I have a couple. Mr. Fairly short. So you made a comment about you were encouraged to lie on your reports, more or less, saying that you were fishing. That's a common theme that needs to be broken amongst the community of watermen itself. Because that is a common theme, and so I'm glad you kind of state that for the record. But that is commonly said amongst watermen who do not use permits or whatever they're permitted to do. The shrimping piece, I had a feeling there would be somebody within 30 to 60, maybe even 90 days based off our last meeting and this decision that we made here. And so I appreciate you coming in to voice your opinion as well. And so if your crab pot license was frozen on the fact that you did not report any harvest, much kind of very similar to the shrimp decision that was made last month, I think everything can be heard, but that's you approached us at the right time, right? Open for the public comment itself. I did meet another Shackelford in my crossings over the last 2 weeks, which Tommy Shackelford, I'm not sure if you did, fine gentleman, waterman as well, and he Shackelford's have a long history of working on water, as you probably know, Mr. Green, as well. So thank you for your time.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Thank you.
The question about the shrimp permit, you had the gear. Was the gear inspected by the
Green? No, I got it. When I got everything, I got stuck to my foot with a stingray. Lost my foot for 3 months, and that kind of set me back from working everything.
Well, that was one of the discussions that you followed any of the meeting.
Yes, sir. Everything. At the time, everything was going on. I got stuck. And like I said, 3 months I was down. Like I said, back and forth hospital operations, one thing after another. And that's
and moving on from the shrimping, because that, there was an opportunity to expand the licenses and licensing in Virginia Beach, and we did that. But there were some conditions with that. And the best person to talk to is Chief Kenyon over there, the Chief of Fisheries, and to talk to him about getting back into the shrimp industry, because it's his folks that do the inspection and manage the licensing and permit that the commission established last month. The crabbing, are you asking us to reinstate your crab license?
I would.
Is that one of the things
you're
asking?
Yes, sir. That's one of the things. Like another thing, how you take my license, but yet you grant other people to be agents, how did you do it?
Captain, we can't.
You know what I mean? Not nothing to y'all. This was all done before y'all.
What you're bringing. But we have a process for the shrimping permit. I said, I'll direct you over to Chief Kenyon.
Okay.
For the crab licensing, what license did you have? What pot license did you have?
500 pot.
500 pot. Yes, sir. And have you talked to the fisheries?
When I come down, it's been some years back, because I'll get well. You got to have this many years of doing good.
I understand.
Well, got to have this. Well, the next year is going to be bad. So here we go again. And I get, you know me.
He was also, just so you know, he was advised if he had interest, he had to come during public comment.
And like I said, the last time I come down here, I was looked at, and I said, I appreciate the time you give me. Hey, we're coming up here to make a fool of myself. When a person sat right in the middle and told me, you just should have, in a roundabout way, you should have lied. Like,
probably, for the record, that wasn't me.
No, sir.
No, I was sir. Never told was any not. Of y'all.
This had been 10 years ago. You should have just, and that's wrong. How was your, and I said, has your data, all your crab data, right? If 50 people lied to keep their license, all of your stuff is wrong. If people is lying and saying they're doing something.
I was going to say, Commissioner, and regarding the crab license, what can we do today?
You're empowered for the commission.
Well, I was going to ask Chief.
You got to make a motion. Mr. Erskine.
I have a question, sir.
Yes, sir.
So when was the last time you actually reported harvest with your crab pot license?
Sir, I'll be on pretty far as when it come up, but when the dates come up for this stuff is when I was doing it. And that's been so long,
They were
tell you something, I'd be telling you a lie. I couldn't tell you the time.
Yeah, they were taken and put on freeze in
2008. Yeah, something like that's close to around about the year. But Mr. Shackelford has been trying to get them back ever since.
Can we hear from Chief Kenyon if he's got anything to add?
I would go to Joe, Deputy Commissioner Grist, please, because he was here in 2008 when this stuff went down.
Yeah, I can't shake that.
You can't shake that. So any questions you have, I would direct to him.
The question pertaining to the crab waiting list is what we're talking about here. Commission, as a reminder to the commission, you'll remember this past March at the commission, we had two watermen come before you asking about trying to get off the crab waiting list at that time. You had it sent to the Crab Management Advisory Committee. In May, at the Crab Management Advisory Committee, the committee decided not to take action on it, with the pending stock assessment coming up next year as part of their rationale. Take it up after we see what the results of the stock assessment is. But with that being said, it's, you know, with the commission, whatever directive you send to myself and through staff, we will follow up with, whether you send us back to CMAQ with it again, or you want to take some different
approach to the waiting list, but the waiting list has less than 100 individuals left on it at this time. A variety of licenses from the old 100 up to the 500 is the old versions. And it is constantly dropping every year, either due to death or people are just giving up their commercial card and just getting out of the fishery. So we are where it was hundreds on this list originally back in 2009, 2010.
Almost a it was 1,000.
No.
It was 800.
It was in the hundreds.
Yeah, 800. So
I was the one here. So.
Well, hold on a second. Wait a minute. Adam, how much was it?
I think I'd have to look.
How much was it? How much off the top of your head?
I think it was 800.
867.
That's hundreds. Yeah. That's still hundreds. So anyway.
It was locked.
I was the one sending out the letters back then. I remember. So. The point is, this is an ongoing issue. It's a common thing that we hear come up, not just from Mr. Shackle, from others that have come before us as far as to come back in March. CMAQ decided not to take it up at this time, but they're your advisory committee. So the commission acts as you wish, and if you direct staff to take this back action back up and bring it forward before you again at some point, you know, staff will do that.
Ms. Cullen.
How many are on that list as of today?
Probably around 70-some is my best guesstimate. We're in somewhere in the 70 range, and that would include some to have dual, both peeler pot and a crab pot license, both on that list. So it's a combination, but it's about, I believe it's in the 70s at this point.
With that question, so a crab pot would make it 70, a peeler pot would make it 71. So it's not one person with two different licenses. It's each one that's in that.
Every license in that board.
If we were to separate the categories out, yes, that's correct. But we just, in general, if we were to talk about individuals total, it's in the 70s.
Right.
86.
How many?
86.
It's 86? Okay, it's 86.
Yeah. The number, the reason it's so difficult is the number keeps dropping as people pass away.
Yeah.
And the original number was relatively high. I mean, it was really high. And I know because we talked about this when with the CMAQ, and we looked at the numbers, and it's hardly.
It's basically 10% of where it was. So, whatever bang for the buck that option gave the commission at the time, well, that option is completely off the table now. It's gone. We got 10% left. And since that time, just to talk regulations with crab management, since that time we have enacted other things. One of the most predominant things we've issued in the crab fishery is the bushel limits per gear license, which has probably had the most substantial effect on how we manage the crab fishery. And that happened after the 2009-2010 actions that were the initial start of that original 34% reduction that we did for the bay. So there's been other actions by the commission since then. So we'll take this action back up. We're neutral on this item. As far as staff goes,
the only thing about now, this is not pertaining to Mr. Shackford, but Joe reminded me that we had two people come up earlier, March meeting or something,
March
asking
meeting.
For their crab pots, and one of the people that came up, their comment was, "I want my license back so I can sell it." Mm-hmm. I do not like that part of it. But seeing Mr. Shackford being a waterman for 46 years and losing it because he was in another fishery, and me, myself, I bounce back and forth from different fisheries, crabbing, oystering, shrimping, gill netting. That's one of our benefits that we can do is being in different fisheries at all times. I would be interested in seeing the board's decision or feelings on giving Mr. Shackford his crab pot license back, but put a 5-year non-transferable issue on it, or only transferable to immediate family with still the 5-year. You cannot transfer it for 5 years other than immediate family.
I'm not here to get something to sell, I promise. That's right. That's what's done before when
yeah.
Started to speak.
Speak to the microphone.
They bought the license back, and then other bought license back, and people sold the license, and they had another license, and they kept on going.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I know. I guess different time. We understand that was a loophole in the buyback program.
Yeah, I'm not after.
Mr. Grist.
If I may, to Mr. Headley's point, some I would like to point out from that March meeting, there was two individuals. The other one, he went to pass it on to the grandson, immediate family, basically, yes. Which goes to what you're speaking to. So I just want to point that for the record. We had two scenarios in March presented to us. That was the other one that fits what you're describing. As far as the non-transferability of license, that is something that is within the purview of the commission. That has been discussed before as a possible option for this. And then we get past the assessment period and we find out where we really stand with the new assessment, and then we reevaluate everything in the crab fishery at that point. So that is an option if the commission wishes to pursue it.
Is there an amount that he would have to pay in back fees?
They took it.
No.
The commission took it. And that's another thing I wanted to bring up, since we've done this for oysters, and you can say it's not the same thing. Well, we just gave a guy back a license that was 6 years delinquent, which means he was not even eligible.
The rules for crab licenses, you are not required to purchase every single year. Oyster user fee operates a little differently. So they do operate differently, so it's not the same mechanism pertaining to this. For any of the ones on the wait list, actually. And Commissioner's correct. The commission took the licenses.
I make a motion that we return Mr. Shackford's 425-pound crab pot license back to him under two conditions. Non-transferable for 5 years, and if it is only transferable to immediate family, and I don't know how you would make the immediate family. It's hard, whether it's just straight children, no cousins.
Okay. For clarification, sir, because this is in regulation, and the regulation is fairly clear about this, is the request that we repeal that section of the regulation, which we would need to advertise duly and bring back to the commission in another month? Is that the request, or is it just specific to Mr. Shackford only? I ask that because by doing so, you can realize the other 85 people on the list may show up at your next public comment period.
Maybe they should.
Very true.
Mm. Well, you...
And Kelty...
I'm asking for your knowledge on going forward on that.
What's that? I would defer to Kelsey on that one.
Yes.
She would be the one to guide us. Kelsey, you got an answer for this.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but the license, when it is issued under the regulation, it can be transferred. There's like a regulation that says how and when it can be transferred. Am I right about that?
Currently, yes.
A potential issue is we're essentially not reinstating his license. We're giving him like a special license under special conditions. I don't know that we can't do that. It might get tricky with remembering that this is a special one and recording that it's a special one. And I mean, that's just something to think about. Staff could weigh in on, but that's the potential issue I see.
Thank you, Kelsey. I'm going to comment in a second. Mr. Erskine?
Go ahead if you're not done with
this. No, go ahead.
Ms. Chris, so, and I appreciate Mr. Shapiro coming before us, and I understand what you're saying. That's going to be an issue, could be an issue for this commission next month. My concern, I know we don't have a motion that's been seconded, you know, still there, is not being consistent. The other gentleman that was here in March wished to do a similar type of thing with his grandson or immediate family and whatnot. So my question is, when is the next, is there a scheduled CMAQ meeting upcoming?
There will be another CMAQ meeting in November. That's when we're already making plans for another one. We have a list of items for that committee to address in November. So, yes, there is one being planned for sometime in November currently.
So my follow-up comment, I guess, would be I would prefer to see this issue go before the next CMAQ meeting with specific instructions to the advisory committee of how to deal with issues such as this. And we're going to see some of these, obviously, from the 86 that are there, and I think we should be better prepared for that. And that's why we have an advisory committee, is to give us some direction moving forward. I see it as Mr. Shackford, a member of the Waterman community, and should certainly have his license back at some point, if that's what the advisory committee says to us in this commission approves. But to do that right now, I think is not being consistent.
Amen. I'm going to get you consistency right here, though.
Thank you.
Hold on a second. Don't wait a minute too quick. Because then now you're being inconsistent on orchards. Because you've been giving orchards license back to people and saying, oh, just pay back 5 or 6 years of user fee when it says in the regulation you don't qualify to the orchard fishery if you didn't buy the previous year's use.
Just quickly, those are two different fisheries.
Wait a minute. That's the only defense you got here. Is it two different fisheries? And I get it. What I'm saying is you're going against the regulation on the oysters, but you won't go against it on crab. I get it. I understand it's two fisheries.
Well, it just again, we have a crab stock assessment that's coming up, and I think that was part of the reason that you indicated the advisory committee said to the other two gentlemen for March. We're also dealing with two fisheries that are very different assessments. The oyster fishery right now is very different than where the crab fishery is in Virginia in terms of stock.
We're all very aware of that, but you weren't consistent. You didn't send it back to SMAC. What we should have done on that then is send it back to SMAC. Ms. Callum, you have a comment?
I do. And I'm going to switch back to shrimp for a minute. I think now is the time to let everybody know that I have received another phone call from a waterman as to the meeting we had on shrimp. So, and I've referred him to the office here, and I don't know if he's reached out to the office. So I think we've got a lot more coming, not just with crab permits, but with shrimp also.
I appreciate y'all. A little too much. We're about to move on.
I'm not going to say too much, sir. I appreciate y'all giving me the time. I didn't come here to get nothing riled up. I wanted to come here to put this in front of y'all, is the way I felt about things. And I understand y'all taking the time to do things right, but that's why I'm here, to put this in front of y'all on what is going on and the way I feel about things. And I understand y'all got to take your time to get this worked out if you can. I appreciate it. I appreciate y'all giving the time. I didn't come to get y'all. I'm not here to do that. And I appreciate the time.
Thank you for coming.
And we thank you for bringing us to our attention. I don't know if Ms. Kellen has finished yet.
For the moment.
One thing.
Keep saying one thing.
The transferring, if you know, the transferring of stuff was stopped. The rock fishing, that got blown away.
I'm going to cut you off if you keep rambling. So you need to stop. Stop. Go ahead, Mr. Hadden.
Mr. Griss, I know when we did the new shrimp regulations, we added up to 5 people into it. Have those names or anything been picked yet, or has that been decided?
That has not been finalized yet.
So are you withdrawing your motion?
Yes, sir, I'll withdraw.
Motion withdrawn. Is there another motion or any comments need to be made?
I have a comment. I wanted to explain the definition of the word use I used a minute ago as far as amen.
Amen.
I like it. Not in my church world, but I was amening the word consistency. Because if we move forward with the motion for Mr. Shackford to receive his license back, which I'm 100% for, because I have a hard time feeling that there's going to be 86 people at our next meeting. That would stand a chance, but the reality is that's probably not going to be the case, which, you know what, sometimes that's what we have to do. About allowing Virginia's waterman to get back to work, and the reality is Mr. Shackford probably would not be using his crab license this year in the first place based on the fact that it's almost prime time is almost gone. Maybe not for the area where you live, but it is for me almost. But
in that same motion, you would almost have to go back to the other two individuals from March and go ahead and grant theirs back to them as well for consistency purposes. The piece that I did not like hearing, and Ms. Hidley made comment to this, was the part where one gentleman wanted to sell it immediately, and the other one did want to pass. I really have a hard time us giving oyster license back to who I would consider, in my own opinion, not part of this board, criminals who continue to break the rules over and over and over and have to come before this commission. So, and we continue to give it back. I think there needs to be legislation to keep that from happening. But I have no issue giving another waterman, another crabber, their license back to go back to work. Their stock assessments, we keep making comment about that, and that's a good thing to lean on, and I think that was to deter in that moment for the people in March based off of one comment what they wanted to do with that license. That's just my personal opinion, Mr. Chris.
And basically what I was saying on consistency is
we need to be consistent.
Well, you're violating consistency now with not sending it back to SMAC when oysters come.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't disagree with what y'all are saying. What I'm saying is if you're going to utilize your advisory committee, you can't pick the species. You should go back to the advisory committee because we do have a very, very robust SMAC too.
Yeah.
And so if you want to stall it and send it back and get the expert's opinion, and that's what we should do to everything for consistency purposes. So I don't have a motion. Was there any intent here to send it back to CMAC to put it on the agenda? I need a motion for that.
Fisher, I'd like to motion that we refer to CMAC their next meeting for them to recommend a process for reinstatement of licensing and specifically transferability to immediate family members.
From those who are on this particular list?
Yes, the 2008 list, whatever it will be next month or the month after.
We'll just say referred to list.
On the transferability to immediate family members. Right. I agree with Mr. Headley on the issue of I want my license back so I can sell it.
Yeah, that has definitely been a
I kind of don't think of that right off the bat. So, but if it's transferable to immediate family members or other exceptions that can be attained, my grandson, my cousin, that for the purpose of using it, that's what I want, is watermen to use the licenses that they're entitled to. So I have to see that go back to CMAC.
So I have a motion to send it back to CMAC for review, the referred to list that's on hold. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second, Mr. Hepburn. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I think you better tell them that they better clarify what immediate family means. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got that written down for immediate family in question mark. All right. That probably made motion for to refer back to CMAC for licenses that are on hold. Probably second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries 7-0 to go back to CMAC. Anybody else have anything else to say? We're good.
Thank you, Captain, for showing.
Thank you, Mr. Chaplin, for bringing that forward.
See, you did make something happen.
I just have a comment. Didn't we at one of our meetings, I can't remember when, agree that people would not come in front of us for these licenses, that it would go back to CMAC and let them make the decisions, that they wouldn't have to come in front of us somewhere?
It went to CMAC and it died at CMAC. Installed.
Okay.
And so that's what Mr. Griss was referring to, is that we did send it back and we're doing it again. So what's going to happen again, Ms. Harris, I'm glad you brought that up, is since we don't send it back to SMAC for the oyster licenses, if it stalls in CMAC again, you're going to have them come right back in front of you again and say the same thing, so we can keep doing this over and over again and be consistent.
Inconsistently.
Amen.
Inconsistent.
Consistent. And that's the one consistency we have. It's very inconsistent. So that being said, thank you, guys. Appreciate you, Mr. Schaefer, for bringing that to our attention. Moving right along, is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to speak during public comment at this time? All right. Joe, you're up. Waterways Maintenance Grant Program. And I think we have a new employee you'd like to introduce at this time, please.
Yep. Check. Turn on the next item. Glenn Energy's Jack Dierstein. He is our new manager for both mandatory harsh reporting and also he's going to be taking on our licensing coordinating as well. So we're combining the two units together into one.
He comes to us with a vast amount of experience both in fisheries, working from Delaware and North Carolina to Florida, and also having done some work in the stormwater erosion sediment control world, which I'm familiar with as well. Having come to us, we stole him from the city of Norfolk, I believe. So, but he just started yesterday. He's already jumping right in, both feet. So we welcome and look forward to having him help us get mandatory harvest reporting further along.
Can you say his name again? I think the commissioner is
here. I'm Jack Dierstein.
Dierstein.
Jack, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Welcome aboard, Jack.
Thank you very much.
We look forward to working with you. Thank you so much. All right, Joe.
In your commission packet, we sent you a draft resolution for the Marine Resources Commission to consider adoption for. So what this is all about is last session, there was an approved legislation, House Bill 1834. This transferred the administrative authority of the Virginia Waterway Maintenance Grant Program and its fund from the Virginia Port Authority, where it's been for about approximately the last 5-6 years, to VMRC. This change requires VMRC to both adopt and implement the existing Municipal Dredging Operating Program and the Municipal Dredging Operating Agreement for ongoing municipal dredge activities. Additionally, MRC must utilize what they call the Fast Track Permitting Program for disposal of dredge materials where applicable. So this program has some connection to us in the fact that it's funding some projects that have to get permits from our habitat division. So it was decided it would be best to have it reside within our agency, but we will be keeping the two of them separated. This program itself will go on admin and finance. It will stay away from the permitting side of the house so the two don't cross over. We're not going to issue a grant for something we haven't permitted yet, and we don't want to cross that up. Otherwise, Randy and I have a lot of meetings. So going forward, what we've done is put this resolution together. I've run it through Kelsey to make sure it meets all the standards we need to meet. I put it in your packet. I can read it into the record if you want, but it's in your packet that you received. It's been advertised. Commissioner, do you want this read in the record, or can I move forward?
You can move forward.
Thank you.
Is the commission okay with that?
Yes, sir.
Anyone objection?
All right. Proceed. Acknowledging that everyone has seen this was exactly what was included in your packet. To include in your packet was the actual enabling legislation and the sections of the Virginia state budget that pertain to this project as well. So I've gone ahead and with a little liberty put a motion together for the commission. If someone wants to make a motion to adopt this, we will now adopt this program in. Now, I will make note, this is for accepting the projects that have already been run through the application and approval process by the Virginia Port Authority before July 1st. We currently have in Town Hall a public guidance document that's getting public comment currently that will come before you probably next month. We'll adopt that. That will guide us in the application process going forward at this body as we continue to absorb this program. Multiple steps to take in a program like this. This is one to take care of the past. What will come up next couple of months will be the future. So with that being said, I have a draft motion if someone wants.
Yeah, I'll elaborate on that a little bit. This is previous funding that the Port Authority has already approved for projects. When we took over the maintenance program July 1, the legislation didn't stipulate what you've already promised out and divvied out, you keep and manage. No, they gave us what they've already been awarded out because it's reimbursable. So you have to spend the money before you ensure the invoice that you spend it before you get paid. So there's a whole lot of projects sitting there waiting to be finished.
And we had, we're responsible to make sure that they do it in order for them not to, because these are localities, most of the cases are localities, right, Joe? And they don't have the money to wait. So we want to make sure to adopt what their board has already approved and voted on and say, hey, going forward, like Joe said, we'll have guidance documents and you guys will be seeing projects in the future.
Yes, 10 different projects currently that are active, totaling over $12.5 million in work. That they're going to be seeking reimbursement.
If we don't accept their approvals, we're holding it up.
They're already banging at the door now.
Yeah. All right, that being said, is there any questions for Joe?
Is this all dredging in the state waters and main channels, smaller channels like somebody's backyard, all that?
It could be where a locality is needing to dredge a channel that was previously taken care of by the Corps of Engineers and the Coast Guard, and they no longer cover it anymore because the navigation aid's being pulled. Example, that would be a great example of what we're looking at. But it's localities coming to us looking for assistance.
Non-federally maintained channels.
Yeah.
Non-federally maintained.
And there's more and more of those every year.
Yeah, and that's a good, I'm glad you brought that up, Mr. White, because they're taking more and more channels off of the federal registry, which means the state's going to have to figure out how to maintain them in years to come.
Does that include where to get rid of it?
That's, well, where it gets rid of will work through the permitting process in the Habitat Division separately from the grant. The grant is mostly just for the actual dredging itself. It could include the cost for disposal, but it's just going to depend on how they present the project to us.
Those projects are going to require Habitat permit.
Unless Chief Owens tells me that they're covered under some section of statute or...
Because under federally maintained channels, they don't require a permit.
Right.
Unless you put the sediment back overboard.
Yeah, well, it depends on where they put the put the spoil.
We will do our due diligence.
We have to work with that team of Habitat. So I guess what I'm asking you is the benefits of keeping it under finance and admin and finance or under Habitat.
By keeping them in separate divisions, there is no chance of any type of conflict of interest in the decision-making process. They will need their permits before they can be funded.
Right.
If we house it under the same division, there's always a potential for a conflict of interest, which we want to avoid.
Hold on a second. You're going to have many, many opportunities to hash that out. This is not about that. That is coming, yes, and we need to get prepared for it. This is only to approve the projects that the Port Authority has already approved by their board, voted on, and we have the money to give to the projects. This has already been done by their guidelines. Our guidelines are coming here shortly, and you guys and gals up here are going to have the opportunity to say what you don't like about it.
Every spring
you'll be able to rehash it. So I just want to be clear, because the way they did it may be different than the way you decide to do it when the guidelines come to you guys. I don't want to confuse you there. This is just the projects that they've already previously approved with funding prior to us taking it over. This funding has nothing to do with the funding that we got recently in July 1. This is funding prior to July 1. Just want to make
sure. Going forward, anything that's approved will fall into our lap.
Yes, and then that's what the guidelines you got coming before you up here soon in the next meeting or maybe the following, whatever one it winds up being. That's going to be the guidelines you're establishing on how the guardrails are putting up, but how you're going to do this, so and how staff is going to do it. Mr. Erskine.
So I understand the July 1, you know, and these are previously approved, but how would this impact any lease horse ground?
Say, I'm sorry again.
How would it or could it impact any lease horse ground?
Well, since the way we will operate the funding side of the house is, we know they're going to have to be required to have a permit to get funding. It'll fall under the permitting side of the house as far as if it gets properly permitted, then it's going to be eligible for the grant process. If it's not properly permitted, we're not issuing out any money. I'm sure of that.
Now, in these programs, too, it doesn't circumvent the permit process.
Right.
This doesn't, just because they're in the grant program doesn't mean they get away with anything. And I totally understand the question, too, Mr. Erskine, because we don't want to put it on where it messes all washers up. So, but this is... And that's kind of weird because we're getting the funding for this, but you know, this has nothing to do with the permit process or what Randy will tell you don't do and what Adam will tell you don't do.
So, Mr. Chairman, what happens if we reject this?
Then all them localities that may be in the process of dredging right now are going to be shorted all that money that they can't afford to be shorted. Because some of them may be in the process of doing this. You got to remember, this grant is completely reimbursable. They have to spend the money first. When they get approved for it, they go get a permit. They do the dredging. Once it's finished, they get the bill, what they paid, and they submit it to the Port Authority, and they would reimburse them that amount of money. Well, that's the proof. These projects have already been previously approved. I'm not going to comment where the permit status is, but the projects have been previously approved. And so the ones that do have a permit, if they're in the middle of the work, when they get done, if we don't approve this, we can't give them money.
Essentially, this motion is to ensure that people that are doing work is going to get a paycheck.
That's already been approved by the Port Authority.
Yeah.
This is not. I understand we might not like some of the parameters. I'm not trying to sit here and say that. I'm saying this was already done, guys.
Yeah.
This is already done. This was money that was assigned to projects before we got the authority in July 1.
So in the past, the Port Authority was doing what they
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But why are they passing the buck?
Because the statute orders it.
The Port Authority did not pass the buck. Legislation was put in by a legislator to take it away from them and give it to us.
So legislation is telling us to do it.
We have to do it by legislation. Not telling us.
Why are we voting?
Because if you don't vote on these projects won't be funded. Okay. And that money will be sitting there. So, and there's a lot of projects that you might have a lot of questions about that we couldn't answer that it's already been hashed out at their board. Their board has already voted on.
Moving forward, we'll be able to.
After, yes. These are all the ones that are in the hopper waiting. Ms. Edwards.
I make a motion that we accept the draft motion presented by staff.
Can you read it to me, please?
Yes. Move to adopt the resolution as presented by staff to include having the Marine Resource Commission adopt administrative authority over the Virginia Waterway Maintenance Grant Program from the Virginia Port Authority and adopt all Virginia Port Authority approved Virginia Waterway Maintenance Fund grants approved prior to July 1, 2025.
I just wanted to see if you'd do it.
See if I could read right.
So, have a motion made by Ms. Edwards. Do I have a second?
I have a second.
A second by Mr. Preston. Any further discussion? All right. That being said, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries 7-0. I know that one was a tough one, guys, but this is legislation. This has happened to us before. And I do appreciate everyone and their time today. We had some really good discussion out here today. That's pretty good. So, there being no further business, this meeting is adjourned. The next commission meeting will be held on Tuesday, September 23rd, 2025. Thank you, Kelsey.